Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Vincent Reinhardt of Morgan Stanley, for decades at the Federal Reserve, working on research for Chairman Greenspan. Good to see you again.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
What will you look for at 8:30?
What will I look for? I think you had it right. Wages. We got to generate some income if we're going to get consumption. And we have a real risk that the economy is slowing to a stall speed as we get into really uncertain times about fiscal policy.
I want to go to your research note. If you could bring it up right now. I love this idea of the pointing of our strategy. A few years ago, I feel like a bad Stan Freeberg comedy sketch here, as you go back to Columbus in 1492. So you've got the boats moving across 1492. The Federal Reserve effectively evaded the issue by setting QE off in a general direction. Much in the same way Columbus pointed his three ships west and expected eventually to land in India. How is the pointing going right now?
By the way, I got a comment from a German client who said there's this famous quote by a German author that says, not every ship that heads for the India discovers a new continent.
Yeah.
So look, I think the Federal Reserve told us what they want and what they intend to do and what they want. But they haven't been specific about either. We know that they care about employment in the context of price stability. But do you know the relative weights of the two? In fact, what we're hearing now is individual FOMC participants are litigating the issue in public. Compare, say, President Hatch-Lakota and Evans versus Plosser.
Plosser sitting in this seat 10 days ago, that's quite a phrase, litigating in public.
So Charlie Plosser sat in the seat.
The dissenter sat there.
Okay, good.
Should he be worried about inflation and all this mix?
Well, you showed the five-year forward a little bit ago. That's the fever chart of inflation credibility. You do have to put it in a longer context. But the bottom line is the Federal Reserve wants more inflation. They said they are going to keep policy accommodative essentially past the inflection point, until the recovery is sustained. And by the way, last time I checked, we're in expansion. So if you describe what the United States is right now as in recovery, you must really think we're very far behind the curve.
Yeah. Well, so should the Fed change the way it gives rate guidance and, say, tie it to a specific unemployment number?
There is nothing absolutely they would individually want to do than that. In work I did with then-Governor Bernanke 10 years ago.
But then how do they decide on which number?
It's a collective action problem. They each individually think a rule would be best, but because they differ on the dual mandate, maximum employment and stable prices, they can't agree on an individual rule, hence they were vague.
Let's make this clear within this wonderful, very academic conversation. Does the Fed care about Sarah Eisen's U6 number? They're going to litigate inflation or price stability or all this. Do they even understand that half of America's flat on their back?
Chairman told you it was a grave situation.
Grave concern.
I think he does care about it. He's supposed to care about it. Here's the problem. The Congress of the United States tells the Federal Reserve to foster maximum employment and stable prices. It didn't tell the Federal Reserve how to weigh deviations from the two. And for the last 35 years since that's been in the legislation, differences across policymakers map into exactly how they feel about how to weigh
right.
those two deviations.
Sir, I want you to jump in here, but let's go back to this basic chart. As Vince Reinhardt mentioned earlier, the Evans and Hatch-Lakota glide path.
I knew this.
And there,
was
I mean, I'm sorry, Vince, you brought this up. I love this. They're litigating Fed policy in the public.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea. What they did was say they will keep policy accommodative until they get what they want. They've been unspecific about what they want because they're kind of hoping that we'll figure it out for them rather than having to come out right away and say, this is the weights on the two objectives. They're going to try to act in a consistent way and see what interpretation takes hold. Meanwhile, they're working in the background, running their models and trying to figure out different ways of characterizing policy. But this is improvisation.
Your forecast for today's number?
8.2 on the unemployment rate, 125K in non-farm payrolls. We do actually have a group called AlphaWise Macro that looks at big data, surveys and the like. And the breaking data over the last couple of days actually have them kick it up to about the 140.
We have to put that number in perspective. 125, it's so easy to get caught up month to month. How far away is this from, say, the historical average, from what we thought was normal?
The important thing to realize is it's not enough to make material progress in reducing the unemployment rate. So we're not reducing the amount of labor market slack. And the longer we keep the unemployment rate this high, the longer wage gains are this low, the more likely we do permanent structural damage to the economy.
Let's look at an image, folks, of what Vince Reinhardt's dealing with every day. This is full-time employment in America. How quaint. How prosaic. The idea of a full-time job for Americans. I thought that's what politicians were supposed to do. I'm calling it the new part-time nation. I'm sorry, we're back 12 years, aren't we?
Hey, there's an important part, and related to that is the widening income inequality. It is tough for middle income, lower income, to get jobs that can feed a family. You have to get a couple jobs. That means the reason we have that is you have spouses working, you have people taking two jobs. This is a tough economy.
I'm going to go right to your research note and the idea here of, again, linking in Fed policy and debt policy with jobs, the fiscal cliff. Two of the three likely election outcomes may produce significant fiscal consolidation, a continuation of the partisan standoff or spending cuts in a new and ambitious government. Look at the Morgan Stanley call, which, as I'm going to say, is in general a cautious call. Bring that over into the end of this quarter and into next year.
Okay. So we did a survey of clients last week. More than two-thirds of them said they were worried about spending for the rest of this year on the expectation and uncertainty about fiscal consolidation. And more than two-thirds of them said they were worried about it in the first half of next year because of the reality of fiscal consolidation. Partisan government, divided government, that's not a recipe for getting past the fiscal cliff untouched.
And you're an economist who has to put out forecasts, and I think of also corporations who have to give guidance. How do you do that when it's so up in the air what the presidency is going to look like, what the Senate is going to look like, with so much uncertainty around these policies?
Yeah, I think economists often overstate the role of uncertainty, but if you were going to design an experiment to figure out if it mattered, this is the one. Because as you said, it's high level. It's about income and income and expectations. That's about consumption. Sales and sales expectations. That's about investment. But it's also about every single margin a CEO's got to worry about. Do you know what the top marginal income tax rate will be? Do you know what the corporate income tax rate will be? Do you know attitudes towards energy or environment? Nope.
Do you know what's happening with manufacturing? Because the latest data point showed that new orders slumped.
Factory orders.
Slumped sharply. Yeah. I mean, how much deeper and how much farther does this manufacturing slump have to run?
A 5.25% decline gets your attention. There are two things going on. The one is we've gotten a bit of a rotation because the global economy is slowing. The other is fiscal uncertainty.
Vincent Reinhardt, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.